It's a delight to be here with all of you, and we have some exciting things to share with you today, and some things that you probably never heard. The Word of God is powerful, and it is so amazing, and there's so much depth to it, and I can't wait to share with you God has in store for you to hear, because that's what we've been praying about all week long, and I hope that's what you've been praying about, that God would give us what we need to hear today, just as we heard from the communion service here through Jaime, that it's all about Jesus Christ, and what he has to offer us is off the charts. Let's just pray. Our awesome Father, thank you again for this opportunity to worship you, to seek your will, to ask you to live in us and transform us so that we become just like your Son. And you have some very exciting news that you have given to us in your word that we can share with others that gives this world hope that they do not have at this time because they don't know. They have been deceived by this world and everything that it is doing. But God, you have such good news for us. And so Father, open our hearts and give us humble hearts and teachable minds and give us your attitude so that we think just like you and that we are receptive and listening carefully to what your word has to say. Because I have nothing to offer, but you have everything. And so thank you, God, for giving us your word in the person of Jesus Christ, your Son, who is the word of life. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to be focusing in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1, because the first 9 verses are astounding, and there's a lot more that's going to be astounding all of you when you find out what the Bible actually does say about what God has in store for you. Let's take a look at this. Paul, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Very important to understand that the will of God needs to be our heartbeat. Say, my prayer every day, God, what do you want me to do today, all day, every second of every day? Jesus said, I seek not my own will, but the will of my Father who has sent me. That should be our passion. By the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, showing that the will of God works not just through Paul, but through the body of Christ, as was Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, and he's speaking to this Gentile church to let them know that something is being given to the whole world now and not just the Jews. It was to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. God is no respecter of persons. Notice this. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy. Now today we're going to learn 3 vital things that you need to know right now. 3 vital things that we're going to focus on. One is what you and who you are right now. You need to know who you are. You might think, oh, my name Jose, my name this. And that's not who you are in Christ. You need to know who you are in Christ because that's who's going to be forever. That's so important to understand because your physical body is going to disintegrate and be gone. But there's something far better ahead. So you need to know who you are right now. And the second thing is who you will become very soon. And number 3 is how to best prepare right now for your future. So 1 Corinthians 1, 1 through 9 is showing us who you are right now. And I think it will quite vividly astound you when you read these verses. To the church of God in Corinth, sanctified in Christ, that means set apart for a special purpose, and called to be holy. You have been called to be holy. Most people think holy means da-da-da-da-da. Now you got a little circle around your head and you're holy. Now, holy means mature spiritually like Jesus. Whole. Holy is whole. You're perfectly whole and complete and perfect like Jesus. Called to be holy, and that's not just the future. That's now. We'll see that. together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Now we need to understand Lord does not mean somebody that's just lording it over you. It's your master. And he is a totally different kind of master than most people think masters are supposed to be. He loves you. He's wild about you. He gave his life for you. And believe it or not, he loves everything about you except sin. But everything else, he loves everything about you. He made you. So he is our master, and he's passionate about you. Most people don't think that. They think God's busy doing other stuff. Then he says in verse 3, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. He mentions this all through his writings. All 14 books are full of beginning and ending. Grace, 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 grace. Grace is where you are receiving something you don't deserve. I don't deserve. He wants us to understand we are a mess. But that's not the way he sees us. He has a whole different perspective about you than you think he does. But we need to realize that without him, we are nothing but a gigantic, bona fide, unsimulated mess. Okay? And grace is where God is giving us something we don't deserve. So we can't go up and say, oh, look at me, like Lucifer did before he became Satan. Look at me. I am so awesome. I'm going to become like the Most High God. And I. Look out. Pride is what gets you in trouble more than anything else. Pride goes before a major fall. Grace. And then peace. These two things God is giving to us as a gift. Peace is where you don't have to worry about anything because Jesus Christ has done it all for you. And if you try to get into heaven or to get into the kingdom of God, you're going to fail. You can't do it. Jesus in you is the only one who can get you in there. That's the only way. And he wants us to have a relationship with him. But those who are trying to be good enough, they are called Pharisees. You can't do it because God says there's none good, none righteous, no, not even one. So we know that. So we've told this many, many times. We know that. So we're just getting the ball rolling. But the good news is he has taken care of everything for us. But then he wants us to know what that's going to mean and how it's going to play out in our daily life. So notice what he says here. Verse 4. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have, and I'm going to add a word here, but please don't mean I'm adding to scripture. The context behind this is you have already been enriched. Because you have been enriched means that's the way you are right now. You have already been enriched by Jesus living in you. When you are baptized and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you have already been enriched with the most powerful power of the entire universe, the Holy Spirit. God himself invested in the Holy Spirit living in you, empowering you to do the impossible. The impossible. With God, all things are possible. And when you have God living in you, the Holy Spirit is God. When you have him living in you, you can do the impossible. And that's good news. And he goes on to say, for in him, in Jesus, you have been enriched in every way. What? How can you be enriched in every way? He's going to tell us. In all your speaking. You mean we have the capability of being totally enriched in everything we say? And in all your knowledge. This is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is like you inheriting $1 billion. Actually, it's worth far more, maybe a trillion or a quadrillion or septillion or whatever, because you've got everything you need already. But most people don't know that. But God, who is in us, is everything you need. I guess it's a good way to put it. He's dying to give it to us. He's already given it to us. He was dying for us to take advantage of it. He wants you to go to the bank and cash it in. It's available. And look what he's going to go on to say. He's complimenting us because we've already done that to begin with. Notice what he says. In all your speaking, in all your knowledge, Because you already have this grace. You already have this gift. Because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. So it's already confirmed. Because the fruits were already being made manifest throughout the city of Corinth. They were like lights going around in the dark world. And people saw them and they were just drawn to those who are in Christ, because there's something special about a Christian. Because a Christian listens. A Christian loves. A Christian cares. A Christian is filled with patience. He's filled with but every one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, humility, and self-control. We already have all of that, but how do we get it? We already have it. We just need to ask God to manifest it in our lives. Every day, it says, the inward man is renewed day by day, every day. When I get up in the morning, I say, God, I want to fulfill your will, not my will. My will is wasting your time, God. You gave me this time. I want to do what you want me to do. And when you do that, God will do amazing things, because he's looking for people who are willing to fulfill his will. That's why it said in the very first verse, Paul was seeking the will of God. And Jesus said, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. So here's something we need to know right now, who you are right now. You have everything you need. You don't need to go somewhere else to get it. It's already with you. If you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit, you already have everything that you need. It's just a matter of learning how to use it. How to use God, or how God can use you would be a better way to put it. Because he yearns to use you to fulfill his purpose for your life. Read this next verse. This is enough to knock your socks off. Verse 7, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift. What? You do not lack any spiritual gift? You've got to be kidding. That's not me. You're right. That isn't you. That's him. And he is in you. And you don't lack anything. So you have nothing to complain about. He's there. And he's waiting to live in you and to live through you. All you have to do is ask, seek, and knock. That's what he says. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's all about how this works. Ask and it shall be given to you. Prayer and ask is the same word. Ask. Just ask God to live in you. And then if you want to know how to do that, seek. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. He says, all these things, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, I'll just give them to you. I'll just give them to you. Free. Grace. We don't deserve it. It's a gift. And then the third, knock. How do you knock? Do you knock on, oh, that's right. You're supposed to knock on wood? No. You knock on the door. Jesus says, I am the door. He says, I will open and no man can shut it. We need to knock on the door and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life so that he is in charge of your life. That's how it works. And he says, everybody has access to it. And it's right here showing us how that works. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. So God has given us everything that we need. How awesome. And he shows us what he wants us to do. And he goes on to say, he will keep you strong to the end. You will not keep yourself strong. He will keep you strong, it says. We can't keep ourselves strong. We have to ask God to keep us strong. That's how it works. So that you will be, what? Blameless? That's right. Blameless. That's hard to even wrap your minds around. Blameless. You know what blameless means? Perfect. How many of us think of ourselves as being perfect? I sure don't look at myself that way. I see my flaws and they're everywhere. But I've got a little secret to share with you. Hold your finger here. We're going to go over to Romans chapter 4, and you're going to read something that you're going to say, I don't remember that. Romans chapter 4, and notice verse 17. And God is speaking about Abraham, who is the father of the faithful, and how he became the father of the faithful. Because Abraham was screwed up, and so was Sarah, and they had illegitimate kid, you know? We're all screwed up. But Abraham believed God, and he was obedient to God. Notice what it says here in verse 17. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. God is speaking about Abraham. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, because Abraham believed. The God, this is the one we're believing, the God who gives life to the dead. In other words, he resurrects people like he did with Lazarus. He resurrected Jesus. He gives life to the dead. And then read this. And calls things that are not as though they were. What? He calls things that are not? Do you mean to tell me he lies? No. God doesn't live in time. He lives beyond time. He sees you the way you're going to be. That's how we become perfect, because he sees you the way he's going to bring you to be. He doesn't think like we do. That's why he's God, and we can be very thankful that he doesn't see us the way we are. He sees us the way we're going to be. He speaks of those things that be not as though they were, because he is the one that's going to bring it to pass. He says, once he's begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the return of Jesus Christ. That's why it's such good news, that even though we screw up from time to time, he loves us with a passion. He does not judge us or condemn us. He condemns sin, but not you. Isn't that good news? That is fantastic news. And read the whole chapter 4 if you want to really have some inspiration to show how this all works. It's phenomenal. All right. Now, second, what will we become very soon? There's 7 possibilities of what we will become very soon. Let's read about it in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. He's talking to the 7 churches. And at the end of each of the churches, each of these churches symbolizes each of us in one way or another. And some of it applies to some of us, and some of it applies to others, depending upon how the fruits of the Holy Spirit are working in our individual lives anyway. But notice what it says here in the first church, the Ephesian church, in Revelation 2 and verse 7, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To all, in other words, if you've got ears, listen to what I'm telling all the churches, because it applies to you in some way or another, and look in the mirror and see where you fit, and so on. He says, to him who overcomes. And we know you can't overcome that. It's very clear that Jesus Christ is the one who does it through you, but you have to ask him to do everything. Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing, and nothing is the opposite of everything. And Jesus has to do everything, because if we do it, we screw up. But if he does it through us, it's perfect. So he says, to him that overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. That's pretty cool. The right to eat, that's what Adam and Eve screwed up on. They missed out. They could have taken of the tree of life and lived forever, but they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He's saying, I'm going to let you have access to the tree of life and have eternal life. That's just step number one. Not too shabby, huh? Let's take a look at Smyrna in verse 13, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. You know what that means? Wow, you're going to have eternal life. When Jesus lives in you, he assures you your life is guaranteed for eternity. Let's take a look. The next step, the Pergamos church, chapter 12 and verse 17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. What's that? That hidden manna is Jesus. We heard about that in the communion service. I am the bread of life. That manna that came down from heaven back in ancient Israel in the desert when they had the manna raining on them was representing how Jesus Christ is everywhere, and He supplies all your need, and He feeds you. Everything you have is a gift from God. But He says, I will give them of the hidden manna. The hidden manna is Jesus who lives inside of us and empowers you to have eternal life now. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I will also give him a white stone. What's this white stone? The stone. Jesus Christ is referred to as a stone. Verse 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, that rock that followed them was Jesus Christ. The white stone is Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness. That whiteness, the fine linen, fine and white in Revelation 19, is the righteousness of the saints. So this white stone is talking about Jesus again. Not that you're going to have a big red white stone in your forehead, necessarily, if he wants to do that. It's talking symbolically. Jesus Christ is going to be given to you, and he's hidden from the world right now. Satan, in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not. But he's no longer hidden to you, because he's given that hidden manna to you. This manna is Jesus. It's the word of God. I will also give him a white stone with a new name on it, known only to him who receives it. And so it shows that Jesus wants to have an intimate personal relationship that is just between you and him, now and for eternity. Very intimate. Thyatira, chapter 2 and verse 26. To him who overcomes and does my will. Now notice this. This is a special blessing. When you are seeking God's will 24/7, who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. Interesting. Authority over the nations. That sounds pretty powerful. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to take over and be president of the United States? I don't want the job. But when I'm a spirit being and I am composed of spirit and God gives me that power to be able to have wisdom that is perfect, that's going to be a whole new ballgame. And God is going to give that to us. We will, when we die, we'll be in heaven. But heaven is going to come to earth. But heaven is wherever God is in my book. But there's a first, second, and third heaven. The first heaven is right here with the atmosphere and up in the sky where the planes fly. The second heaven is out in the universe, out in the heavens where the stars are. And then the third heaven is where God lives. But the good thing is that when we are in Christ, we're already in heaven. We are in heavenly places in Christ, Paul says. Because we are living in a new dimension. We're living in a spiritual world. The world is looking at everything from a physical point of view, but when we see what the Bible says, we see from God's perspective. And God is looking at things spiritually. And we'll see that a lot more here as we go on. Authority over the nations. I will also give him the morning star. If you read 2 Peter 1 verse 9, we see the morning star is Jesus. Jesus is everything. That's why we have the communion. It's all about Jesus. It's not all about us. And when it's all about Jesus, he made it all about us. He's giving it all to us. He says, seek you first, like I said, the kingdom of God. I'll give you everything. We're going to inherit not just the earth, the whole universe. All things means the whole universe. I don't know what God's got in store, but for that, we'll just wait and see. But it's exciting to realize that God loves us that much and he trusts us when we yield to the Holy Spirit and let Jesus Christ work in and through us, then he can give you power to make decisions that he knows he would make because he's living in you. Then the Sardis church, chapter 3, he says, he that overcomes will be dressed in white, that's righteousness. I will never erase his name out of the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. But the Sardis church, guess what? They were dead. They were described, you can read this story, they were dead. They were just kind of flaking out, just not doing much. But they still got eternal life. It says right here, I will never erase his name out of the book of life, because they believed. They just didn't have the kind of fruits in their lives that God was hoping And he says, I counsel unto you to repent, like he said to two or three of the others as well. But we can look in here and see where we stand, so we can look in the mirror. Let's take a look at Philadelphia, chapter 3 and verse 11. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. That's your reward according to your works. When he says when he comes back, he's going to reward each one of us according to his works, not your works. The works he is doing through you, his works. Let no man take your crown. That crown is the reward he's going to give to you when you come back. Your responsibilities in the kingdom, or however God chooses to give that crown, it represents what God is going to give to you as a gift. He that overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. I kind of look at it, but this is just my flimsy perspective. You'll be working at headquarters, not our headquarters, but God's headquarters. It says right here, look at this. Never again will he leave it. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So there's going to be different responsibilities. Some are going to be given power over the nations. Some are going to work here. God says, I'm going to prepare a place for you in the kingdom. This is just giving us an idea to let us know God knows what he's doing, and he's got a plan figured out, and he's grooming you for that responsibility in the kingdom, whatever that may be. And then finally, the Laodicean church, chapter 3 and verse 21. To him that overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Wow, what an honor. And guess what? The Laodiceans were not perfect. They were not perfect. If you read about it, they were rich. Or at least they thought they were. It said, look at me. I'm a wonderful Christian. And so God says, you're looking at it the wrong way. You need to repent of that. You need to realize it's not about you. It's about Jesus. And the Laodicean church needed, they were counseled to repent. And he says, you do not even realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. That's human. But Jesus is our clothing. He's our righteousness. He is our life. And all the focus needs to be on him. And when they realize that, and he says, verse 19, those I love, I rebuke and discipline. And he's rebuking Laodicea right here. We can listen. If we are in that Laodicean and we think we're awesome Christians because of us, repent and just say, God, help me to see that it's not about me. It's all about you. And help me to have the kind of humility you tell me about in Isaiah 66, 2. To this man will I look, to him that is humble and contrite and trembles at my word. Who is my word? Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right, now we're going to show how to best prepare for the kingdom. And this here, we might have to pick up in a future sermon, but we'll get started. But I bet you you've never thought of it this way. We're going to go through the virtuous woman chapter in Proverbs 31. If you want to know how to best prepare right now to become the bride of Christ, go through Proverbs 31, verses 10 through the end. It's 21 verses, and it shows you exactly what a virtuous woman is going to be doing. But don't look at it solely from a perspective of a woman, except the bride of Christ, of which all of you and me are the woman who is Jesus Christ wants to marry. And then when you see what she's doing here, don't look at it only physically. Look at it spiritually. Let's just begin to look at it, and then we can go through the rest of it at some other time. Verse 10 of Proverbs 31, this is what Jesus Christ, is God the Father, is looking for in his son's bride. He wants a wife of noble character who... How do you find somebody like that? How do you find somebody who's going to be fulfilling the will of God instead of doing their own thing and trying to give God the credit for doing what they want to do? Doesn't work that way. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her. Who's her husband? Jesus. Jesus is the husband of the bride of Christ and lacks nothing of value. You know why she lacks nothing of value? Because she has, we just read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You have everything you need. You have all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You have God's perfection. You have His righteousness. And that's how we have access to the very throne of the God the Father, is through Jesus Christ and His righteousness, not ours. And we have direct access. That's why He says when you pray, pray our Father. They never had access to the Father in the Old Testament. It's only through the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ living in us that we have access to talk to the Father directly, into the Holy of Holies. That if the high priest even walked into the Holy of Holies any time but on the Day of Atonement, he would die. Totally changed because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We have direct access all day long to God the Father. That's astounding when you think about it. And she lacks nothing of value. She brings him good and not harm, because that's what Jesus does. Even when we make mistakes, Jesus redeems it. I mean, I think of all the stupid blunders that I've made and how God has somehow turned it around and turned it into a blessing. Probably because God says, rejoice and be exceeding glad when somebody condemns you and finds fault you with you or whatever, because you're learning what you need to change. It's a blessing. We have a whole different perspective on life than the people in the world. We see things from God's perspective, because God is changing us and grooming us to prepare us to reign with Him and to have His kind of character. She selects wool and flax. We'll get into that later, but our time has flit. It's fleeting away, and I guess that's what flit means. So let's pray, and we'll finish this in the future. But let's just ask God's blessing. Father, we just thank You so very much that You have given us everything. You are the best friend we could ever ask for. Your grace is sufficient for us. Your righteousness is perfect. Thank You, God, that You do not see us the way that we are, but the way we're going to be, and that You love us with a passion, and we need to be just like You to love each other with that same kind of passion You have for us, in spite of the fact that we all are filled with shortcomings. And so, God, we give You all the praise and the glory and ask You to go with us and fill us with Your life and Your peace and Your joy and all the fruits of Your Spirit, so that we can be a light everywhere we go, giving all the glory to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.